are listening to the Writerly Bites podcast, where you'll get quick tips for making your writing and your writing life better. I'm Blair Hurley, and I'm a novelist and a creative writing instructor. You can find more about me at blairhurley.com and on Twitter at bhurley, which is where I originally started posting these short writing tips. This week's writing tip is don't start with your character waking up. Sounds very simple, right? Choosing when to start your story is tricky. It can be tempting to begin at the start of your character's day, because that's when we normally section out time in our minds. The start of a new day, the start of a story, right? Wrong. I can't tell you how many times I've read student story drafts that start with toothbrushing, coffee, I hate Mondays, and then the story really begins. Overall, these morning routines don't differ that much from person to person, and they don't provide the best entry point for your story. It's a step into what is utterly mundane and not unique about your character. It's not establishing a problem or giving much that's revealing about his or her life. Above all, our goal as writers in the early pages of a story is to reveal our character's world. Waking up doesn't actually reveal much. It's a step into the blandly uneventful, the ways that all of us participate in a generic world. What I'm interested in, as a reader and as a writer, is the aspect of your character's life that is specific to that character, rather than what is general or generic. I had one creative writing professor who, upon receiving the stories we handed in to him, it was still in the old days when you'd hand a paper document in to your professor, would promptly tear the first page off the document. "I don't need this," he'd say. And he went to the trouble of explaining why. In first drafts, all too often, writers end up doing a lot of throat clearing in the first page. We think we have to invent the universe, create and describe everything about this character's ordinary day before we can get the story rolling. But here's why this professor's violent gesture ended up feeling liberating. It was because he was always right. When we all looked at our stories, starting with page 2, there was sometimes a little tweaking of the narration to be done, an adjusted word here and there, but it always made for a more vivid, haunting, active, and dynamic story. Even now, when I'm writing a new story and I'm trying to hammer out a draft, I try to ask myself that sort of hypothetical question: what would happen if I just started the story on page 2? A lot of the time, I'm not missing much from that first page, and it means that I can cut a heck of a lot and get that bleeding edge of the story more and more upfront to the beginning of the story. All of this is to say that starting your story with a character waking up is just one version of this narrative throat clearing that writers tend to do, and it's probably the most common one I see as a teacher of writing. I could also put a ban on starting with the weather, or with lengthy backstories of your character, or painstaking physical description. All of these are different, but equally passive ways of beginning your story. I should also say there are exceptions to every rule. There are wildly compelling stories out there that start with characters waking up, I'm sure of it, and I'm sure I've even read examples of them. But when I was planning this episode, I couldn't think of any good examples that do that. Almost every great opening line to a story or novel that I can think of that still resonates with me is something far more active, that begins in the middle of the problem, whatever that problem might be. So just as an example, I'd like to look at the first line of a favorite young adult book of mine instead, Philip Pullman's extraordinary book, The Golden Compass. It's called The Northern Lights in the UK. The first line of this book is, "Lyra and her demon moved through the darkening hall, taking care to keep to one side, out of sight of the kitchen." This is such a great example of a beautiful opening and invitation into the problems that the story is going to give to us later. We have this intriguing situation, Lyra and her demon. We don't even know what that means yet. As it turns out, it's sort of a fantasy concept. It's going to be very interesting, but it's like an animal familiar that she has with her. And they're on the move. They're moving through the darkening hall. So it sets us up very efficiently and allows us to start picturing some sort of place and setting. But it's in movement, right? They're moving through the darkening hall, taking care to keep to one side, out of sight of the kitchen. So already there's a sense of suspense or drama here because there's something at stake. For some reason, they have to stay out of sight. They're sneaking around. They're doing something illicit. And that's the important thing to take from this beautifully active opening. We're on the move, there's a problem, and we have a clear sense of a character and a situation. So this week's reading recommendation is The Changeling by Victor Lavelle. I don't normally read books that would be classified as horror, and I think this piece would be classified as horror, but it was, even though it was outside of my comfort zone, it was truly compelling, really fascinating, and a different take on sort of horror genre tropes. So as you can imagine from the title, this is going to be playing around with the classic fairy tale trope of a changeling, which is a child who's been switched at birth with some kind of evil child or goblin or elf or fairy, something like that. It's an old Irish myth, and it probably exists in other cultures too. Whenever your child is particularly fussy or difficult, then maybe it was a changeling child. Maybe your child's been stolen away and replaced with this horrible goblin child instead. So that's the premise, but it's very contemporary in the way that Victor Lavelle handles it. We're in New York. We're with a black couple who are very classically New York in a lot of ways. The family is struggling to get by. There's all these different challenges that the writer acknowledges with modern motherhood and parenthood and trying to bond with the baby. There's a lot of references to postpartum depression, all these kind of engagements with the modern problems of parenting, coupled with this very ancient, ageless threat that is depicted truly horrifyingly on the page. There's a scene in this book that's more unsettling than anything I've seen in a long time in fiction. So it's a great read, really interesting. I highly recommend it. Thanks for listening. The Writerly Bites podcast will be back with micro tips to make your writing better. It's produced by me, Blair Hurley. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and visit the website at writerlybites.com. You can email me at blair@blairhurley.com with your favorite tips or questions about the writing life, which I'd love to tackle in future episodes. Thanks for listening.